Now have your way. Move as only you can. We bow down humbly before you. Lord, decrease me and increase you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Can we put our hands together and give God a praise? He is worthy of the praise and the honor and glory to his name. I was going to do this next week, but I want to give honor to my wife. She has a birthday this week. Is she in here? She's over there. Amen, amen. But I want to give honor to her, but we'll do it next week. And she's going to be, I'm going to tell her age. She's over there. I'm joking. Okay, you're looking at, Terry's looking at, don't do it. Amen, I'm not going to do it. I was joking. Amen, but she is, she's a blessed woman of God, and I'm so thankful for her. And I want to give honor for my daughter. Her birthday is this week also. Amen. Amen. And we'll celebrate all of that next week. I'm just so thankful for you. But if we can turn in our Bibles today, God is moving greatly in our midst. And we're so thankful for the privilege of God. He's wonderful. He's wonderful. Turn with me to, let's look at Matthew 28. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. I don't really have to read it, but I'm sure we all know this by heart. And if you don't know it by heart, don't feel ashamed. You'll learn it. Amen. Matthew 28, verse 19 and 20. Go ye therefore and search all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and know that I am with you always, even until the end of the earth. This is a reading of the Word of God. Thanks be to God. I'll be speaking to you today from the subject Church on Fire. It's our new series, Church on Fire. And the title of this message is Just Like the First. Just like the first. From our series, A Church on Fire, we want to be just like the first. Lord have mercy. We don't want to be like the Potter's House. God bless the Potter's House. We don't want to be like any other church, but the first. The first, just like the first. You know, we began our discussion last week with a teaching from our new series, A Church on Fire, and we established from last week's lesson that a church on fire is an assembly of Christians gathered together, working together for the glory of God. That's a church on fire. A church on fire is an assembly of Christians, those who believe in Christ and follow his teachings, Christians. Working together, working together to glorify God. You know, I came in this morning and Stacy, who's at the front desk, she said, Pastor, why don't you have someone from your church meet you here early and help you unpack all this stuff? And I said, I'm working. Not playing church. Not here just to be here. I'm working. That's a church on fire. And as the head goes, so does the rest of the body. As I work, I pray that you will start to work and be a church on fire. An assembly of Christians working together for the glory of God. You know, any organization or group who might come together or get together to perform a common good for humanity, such as serving the homeless, helping orphans, or guiding out youth, should be commended. And by no means should that organization stop doing what you're doing for humanity. You should be commended. Please don't cease that good work for humanity. But if that organization is not doing it under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, I want you to hear me. If that organization is not doing it under the Lordship of Jesus Christ, for the glory of God, then that organization cannot be a church on fire. They're doing good. Leave them alone. Let them do it. Don't go up to them and say, stop what you're doing. You're not a church on fire. Let them be. But they're not doing it for the glory of God. And if they're not Christians gathered together and assembly together working for the glory of God, then they cannot be a church on fire. It does not matter what they're doing. It doesn't matter how good they're doing it. They cannot be a church on fire for God. Continue doing that work. Again, I say continue doing the good work, but in my experience, this is me. In my experience, if the agenda of any organization, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, whatever, if any organization, if the agenda is not to glorify God through Christ, then their motives for serving humanity are often suspect. Some organizations' motives for serving are political. They have a political agenda for serving humanity. Some organizations' motivation or motive for serving are laced in racism. Yes, racism. Some organizations' motives for serving humanity is laced in sexism. They're practicing sexism, but they're serving. And let's not forget capitalism. That could be a motive for an organization. Let me give you an example. You would be surprised how many organizations serving humanity and doing good, even those allegedly doing good in the name of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, are not glorifying God. You know, years ago, I met through a business acquaintance of mine. We had a conversation in my office, and they shared with me how it was at that time in vogue to adopt children from Africa and from Russia and from other countries, how it was in vogue to do such a thing, how it was a status symbol. If you're able to adopt a child from a third world country, it was a status symbol. And this person shared this with me. And although it's a great thing to adopt a child, to bring a child into a better socioeconomic standard of living, it's a great thing. It's a beautiful thing. But if you're doing it for the wrong motive and under the wrong agenda, I say right then and there that you are not and cannot be on fire for God because your motives are wrong. The agenda is wrong. For people to see you pushing your black baby from Africa in Westfield, in Metuchen, in Princeton. The agenda is wrong. The deed is good, but the agenda and the motive is wrong. And therefore, that person cannot be, or will not be, or should not be, until God touches their life on fire for God. You know, there are religious organizations allegedly doing the work of the Lord, yet they do not believe Jesus is the Son of God, nor follow his teachings. Jehovah's Witnesses, I commend them. They come to your house, they knock on your door, they're relentless. I commend them. God bless them. I commend them. I wish we could follow their lead and go out and get the people and bring them into the glory of God and the church of God. I commend them. I don't talk about anyone. But they are not a church on fire because they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But that's another teaching. That's another day. That's another moment. We'll talk about that at another time. If you're going to be a church on fire, you have to be an assembly of Christians working together for the glory of God. You know, there are, besides the Jehovah's Witnesses, you know, they are organizations that are not following the commands and the teachings of Christ working in his name. What are Christ's commands? What are some of his commands? Christ has given us one in Matthew 28:19. We just read it, the Great Commission. Go, therefore, into all the nations, making disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching all things that I have commanded you, observing and teaching all things that I have commanded you, and know that I'm with you always What are his commandments? His commandments can be found in Matthew 22, 37, and 40. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind. That is Christ's commandment to us. That is the first commandment. To love your God, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, and your soul. That is the first and greatest commandment. I know thou shalt not kill. I know thou shalt not commit adultery. I know thou shalt not steal. But Jesus Christ came and said, I'm going to give you the first and greatest commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. Because if you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, then you won't kill. Then you won't steal. You won't lie. You won't destroy. You won't use my name in vain. You'll do what you're supposed to do for the glory of God. If you love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. That's the first and greatest commandment. Second commandment of Christ. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. Who's your neighbor? Your neighbor is the person sitting next to you. The neighbor is your husband. The neighbor is your wife. Your neighbor is your brother, your cousin, your friend. Your neighbor is the person on your job that you don't like. The neighbor is the person that you ride the bus with that you don't care for. That is your neighbor. I don't want anybody to go home ringing their neighbor's bell saying, I'm supposed to love you. That's not just your neighbor. Amen. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. One of the things with the gospel teaches us to love ourselves so we can love others. Because if you don't love yourself, you won't be able to love others. If you don't care for yourself, if you don't see yourself with God consciousness, then you won't be able to love others. These are Christ's commandments. And unfortunately, there are some churches who do not follow Christ nor his commands. They're not making disciples. Lord have mercy, there are some churches not making disciples. How do you make disciples? Teaching the word of God, John 8:30 and 31. If you know the word shall set you free. If you remain in my word, then you are my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Some churches are not making disciples because they're not teaching the word. They're teaching about the pastor and his tie and his bow tie and his car and his gaiters. They're teaching about his house. They're teaching about his vacation and his children. They're teaching all these different things, but they're not teaching the word. You make disciples when you remain in God's word. Some churches are not, or do they show the love of God? You can't be a church on fire without showing the love of God. Nor is there love for anyone else. At Israel Living Church, I decree and declare that we will love those in Jamesburg and Monroe. We'll love those in East Windsor. We'll love those in Newark and New York. We'll love those in East Brunswick. We'll love those in Middlesex County and Union County. We'll love those by way of God and his love in the world. 1 John 5:20 says, if any man says he loves God and loves not his brother, he is a liar. For how can you love God whom you do not see and not love your brother who you see every day? A church on fire. But thank God there are many churches on fire for God. There are many churches. There are many good churches out here on fire for God. And they want to show God and reveal God and glorify God and see the glory of God revealed in everyone's life. There are churches and plenty of them that are on fire for God. A church on fire follows Christ's commission. A church on fire makes disciples. A church on fire baptizes in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. I wish I could tell you my conviction last week at Bible study. I asked how many people were not baptized. And I think somebody lied to me because a bunch of hands went up. And I know that when I asked that before a few months ago, everyone said, I'm baptized. And when y'all raised those hands, I was so afraid. Because that's my job. Baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I've been calling all over Jamesburg and Monroe looking for a church to take y'all to the water. Because y'all have to get baptized. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is a church on fire for God. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Teaching Christ's commands and loving God and loving your neighbor. That is a church on fire. Y'all okay? Y'all with me? Everybody feeling good? Amen. Turn the lights on. Amen. Thank you. That is a church on fire for God. You know, a church on fire, and we're almost done. A church on fire is, one, I want you to take this down. A church on fire is Spirit-filled. Spirit-filled, amen. That's a church on fire. A church on fire is commissioned by Christ. We went over this last week. A church on fire follows Christ's commissions. A church on fire follows his commands and his teaching. A church on fire is concerned about the care of the church. And a church on fire for this week is Spirit-filled. Lord have mercy, Spirit-filled. Y'all don't mind if I teach a little bit here. A church on fire is Spirit-filled. You know, we have many models for church in the New Testament. Many models, and we're going to go over them. If you were with us last year, we talked about the seven churches in Asia Minor. And we talked about Laodicea. We talked about how we are, we were at that time pretty similar to Laodicea. They were a church that was lukewarm. They loved the world and they loved God. They loved their business and they loved God. They loved their friends, their old friends, and they loved God. They were lukewarm. And God called us not to be lukewarm, but God called us to be hot and on fire for him. God says, you stand with me or don't stand at all. That's the church on fire. And the church on fire is Spirit-filled. And one of the churches we want to look at today in action, we want to look at the first church. For we want to be just like the first. The first church appointed after the resurrection and then the ascension of Christ into heaven. In the book of Acts, that was written by Luke the physician, we know that. We see in chapter 1, Jesus tells them to wait for the promise of the Father. He tells them to wait for the promise of the Father. In 1 John chapter 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from here. You know what? What I love about that is it made me refer back to the fact that many of you had said that you were baptized, and what God revealed to me is that you were baptized with water. You were baptized at Mount Moriah. You were baptized at First Baptist of Louisiana. You were baptized, but you may have been baptized with water. You were baptized in the Presbyterian Church, in the Catholic Church. You were baptized with water. But now God is saying, since you made your way to It Is Well Living Church, and he's opened your eyes and directed your steps to a new way, and now that you're going to be disciples of Christ, you are about to be baptized in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Lord have mercy. You're about to be baptized with the Spirit. You're about to receive the Spirit of God. You're about to have life everlasting. You're about to know God and know his fire. You're about to speak in tongues. And you're about to do things that you never thought you could do in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Because you were baptized with water, but now you're about to be baptized with fire. Lord have mercy, with fire. A church on fire is Spirit-filled. You're baptized with the Holy Spirit. And when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, Lord have mercy. Why, Pastor? Why do we have to be baptized with the Holy Spirit? Because then you'll receive power. You're powerless without the Holy Spirit. You're powerless. You have religion without the Holy Spirit. You have church, you're a church member without the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you shall receive power. Acts 1 and 8. Yes. But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the other ends of the earth. You know why some people are not listening to you witness? Because you don't have power. You know why people are turning away from you when you start talking about God? Because you don't have power. You know why you're still going through all these issues in your life and you can't speak to them? Because you don't have power. You know why? All of us have challenges. But when I have a challenge and my wife and I, we have a challenge, we don't expect to be there long because we have power. You know, when my children are sick and they get a cough or a cold, I don't pick up the phone and call the doctor right away. I lay hands on them because I have power. And it's not about me, it's not about my wife, but it's about him. Yes. You shall receive power. Not be born with power, but receive power. A church on fire. The Spirit filled. And you shall receive that power when you're baptized with the Holy Spirit to be witnesses for Christ. You know, this was the start and the beginning of the church. It's a beautiful time. It's a beautiful, beautiful time in the beginning in the life of the church. The disciples, because of the Holy Spirit, they were able to go forward. Now, they were afraid. Jesus had just gone to heaven. Their leader had just gone. They were afraid. They were already afraid. If you read the gospel, you'll see that they were fearless. And Jesus was always trying to make them be bold and be courageous and understand who they were as Christians with him. He always tried to give them power, but he knew they could not receive that power till he left. So when he was gone, they now received that power. And it was time for them to go forward by faith. Without fear, because they receive power from the Holy Spirit. And that's why a church on fire is Spirit-filled. Point two, a church on fire is not afraid to preach the truth.
Amen.
Lord have mercy. In the book of Acts chapter 2, 36 through 41. Chapter 2, 36 through 41. Thus the Bible reads, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. That's Peter speaking. He said, look, I'm going to let y'all know. Y'all crucified Christ. Church on fire is not afraid to preach the truth. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brother, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's the truth. That's the gospel. That's the truth. Repent. 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 Not come to church and be entertained, but repent. Not come to church and let me tell you how wonderful you are, that you're about to prosper, and you're about to get a business, and if you spin around 21 times, you're going to be blessed. No. Come to church and repent. Come to church and turn from your evil and your wicked ways. Come to church and hear word that you're not living right, that you can live better, that God has more for you than you have for yourself. If you would just get under the guise and the hand of God, let God change your life. The same God that changed my life, the same God that turned me from the streets and from a sin, is the same God that will bless your life. I know you're perfect. I know, but I'm telling you, you have some sin. And God wants to change your life around. You need to hear the truth. Your best friend's not going to tell you the truth. Those that want money from you are not going to tell you the truth. Those that are doing business with you are not going to tell you the truth. Come to church and hear the truth. Hear the unadulterated truth of God. For he will tell you that you need to repent, that you need to change your ways. You're a liar and a thief. You're a whoremonger and an adulterer. Turn your life around and give your life to Christ. There is no condemnation in those who are in Christ Jesus. But you're not in Christ Jesus. You're in sin. You're in the world. You're sleeping with him and you're sleeping with her. Lord have mercy. You're sleeping with them. You need to come and give your life to Christ, because God has something for you and he can't get it to you. He cannot get it to you living the life that you're living. That's the truth. That's the truth. Whenever I sit down with someone, I need the power of the Holy Spirit to tell them the truth.
That's right.
That's why you shouldn't talk about it with your pastor. Amen. You shouldn't talk about it because your pastor is the only one that's going to tell you the truth.
Yes.
Everybody else in your face lying, trying to give what they want from you, but your pastor is going to tell you the truth. The truth. Not to condemn you, not to keep his foot on your neck, but to take you higher in God. So you can go where you need to be and do what you need to do and be who God called you to be. Not who the world tells you that you are, but who God tells you that you are. And that is a church on fire. Peter said, y'all crucified Jesus. Do y'all understand that? He said that to the Jews who could have killed him at that moment. Kind of like me sitting in front of a prisoner. Sometimes I sit in front of murderers and I talk to them and they say, Pastor, you know, I ain't had no daddy, and I was a mess. You know, I'm tired. And I'm like, yeah, but you knocked that woman over the head. You gotta repent of that. You need the Holy Spirit to give you power to do that. You understand that?
Yeah.
Spirit-filled church preaches the truth, not to condemn, not to turn you off from God, not to, I want you to hear, not to control you.
That's right.
Not to control you.
That's right.
Anybody keeps bringing up your past mess, that's to control you.
Uh-huh.
That's to control you. God has forgiven us. And once you confess your sins, you can go forward in God. Amen. Amen. A church on fire. Point three is, we got to move along, is serious about baptism. Acts 2 and 41, then they gladly received his word and were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. There are only two ordinances in the church, communion and baptism. It is Well Living Church, we have to be serious about baptizing. It should be like a party. It should be like an event. If I didn't have to hurry up and get some of y'all baptized, I would wait till the summer. We would go to the beach. I would have Jane out there with her little guitar playing on the beach. We'll all have on white robes. I have on my shades. And we'll be walking in the beach, and we would go right to the water. And if I could, I would have an airplane fly by with that little banner that says, "It is Well Living Church, baptism today."
Amen.
Amen. It should be a celebration. It should be a celebration of the water, of going down in the water. Baptism doesn't save you, but it's an outward expression of an inward change. That's baptism. A church on fire is serious about baptism in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. A church on fire remains in the doctrine of Christ, fellowships together, communes together, and praise together. Acts 2 and 42. Acts 2 verse 42. Excuse me. And they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Not some strange doctrine. Not 10 steps to success. Not 10 steps to getting a new house. Not 20 steps to doing this and 30 steps to doing that. But in the apostles' doctrine, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they remained in it because they were looking to be disciples and in fellowship. Church, this is why we have to move, church. We have to get together in fellowship. We have to come together in fellowship. We can't wait till just Sunday. We have to be able to get together in fellowship. What is fellowship? Standing together, having some coffee, singing songs, reading the word, having a guest speaker come in, having a prayer service. We must get together in fellowship. It strengthens us. It makes us stronger. We become disciples. We receive power. We grow in the word, and we understand who we are in God because we're constantly receiving the word. We must come together in fellowship. Amen? Amen, amen. We must remain together in fellowship. We must commune together. That's eating together. We must eat together. We must commune and eat together, and we must pray together. Psalm 122 says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." A church on fire gives God praise. And I'm rushing a little bit because I'm a little bit over time, but amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Take
praise the Lord. Amen. Amen, young lady. God bless you. Amen. Amen. A church on fire gives God praise. Psalm 34, "I will praise the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth." Psalm 124, "If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side," a church on fire, we give God all the praise and the honor and the glory for bringing us out of darkness into the marvelous light. We give him praise for saving our families. We give him praise for keeping and covering us. We give him praise for our history. We give him praise for all he's doing. We give him praise for our health and strength. We give him praise for the anointing. We give him praise for opportunities. We give him praise for getting up out of bed. We give him praise for food on the table and clothes on our back. We give him praise for opportunities. We give him praise for all that he's doing in our life. Well, if it had not been for God, where would we be? Where would you be? I know where I would be, but where would you be if it had not been for God? God is the one that has done it all for us. He's given us favor. He's given us faith. He's given us the fortitude to go on and do great things for God. He's put a new song in our heart. He's put a new song in our mouth. We give God praise. We praise him in the morning and praise him in the afternoon and praise him in the evening. We praise him before anything. We give him praise. A church on fire, we have to give God praise. We have to give God praise. Please stand with me in this place. We give him praise. And finally, a church on fire. Church on fire has favor with all people due to the demonstration of love. Can't be a church on fire and you don't like people. You know, I meet pastors and they say, I don't like people. They say, yes, it's ridiculous. But they say things like, Pastor, I'm telling you now, don't love those people too much. They're gonna hurt you. You're gonna be going and fellowshipping with them, and they're gonna leave. They're gonna go to the potter's house. They'll leave now. Don't get too close to them now. Just love them to give them the word and tell them to get on. Don't be going to the hospital to see nobody. Don't do it. Don't get close to those little babies. They will take those babies. I'm not called to be loved. Y'all love me now. Don't do that. Love me. Amen. Love me. But I'm not called to that.
Amen.
I'm called to love.
Yes.
I'm called to love.
Yes, God.
I'm called to love. Without attachment to outcome. I'm not attached to outcome. I just love. I just love in this moment. Every moment. Every moment is all we have. We only have the moment that we have. So all I do is love in that moment. That's all I can do. I can't worry about who's going to go move to Alabama. I can't worry about who wants Bishop so-and-so to be their new bishop. I can't worry about that. All I can do is love. Love, 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 love. A church on fire has favor with all people because of love. Love. And the church on fire is concerned about your place in eternity. Acts 2, verse 47. Praising God, having favor with all people. And listen to this. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Not added them to the church because you got a doctorate. Didn't add you to the church because you're a good tither. Didn't add you to the church because you're rich and I want your money. But the Lord added you to the church so you can be saved. So you can be saved. So your family can be saved. So your generations can be saved. Do you understand that? Your generations. God has a generational blessing for you. I know you heard of the false generational curse, but there really is a generational blessing. You. It's for me. It's for my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren. God has turned the blessing around in my life. When people were going to know me as a player, and people were going to know me as a fake thug, and people were going to know me as a liar, and people were going to know me as a cheat, because you do know if you're cheating on someone, you are a liar and a cheat. You understand that? People were going to know me as those things. They were going to know me as those things, but God came into my life and turned around. And now he's going to bless my generations, and they're going to say, those Carmichaels are people of God. I remember when my great-great-great-grandfather Pastor Carmichael started that church in that little town of Monroe. It used to be mostly white. Now it's all black. Now it's all white. Now it's mixed, black and white. It's not predominantly white. It's predominantly black and white. Because of the church. You understand? God will, and he's concerned about the church. He's concerned about saving your life in eternity. That's a church on fire. We are a church on fire. I don't want anybody to doubt it. Not because of me, but because of God. God has his hand on us. He has his hand on us. He has his hand on us. He has his hand on you. He has his hand on you. So we want to glorify God with prayer. Church on fire. We are a church on fire. You may come in, woman of God.
Amen.
Protocol is fine, but presence is better. We want your presence in here. Amen. Father, we thank you right now for your grace and mercy. We thank you for the blessing upon your people, God. We thank you for It Is Well Living Church, that we are a church on fire. We thank you, Lord, that we love you and we honor you and we praise you. Lord, we purpose in our heart, Lord, to glorify your name, to save those that are lost, to glorify you in Janesburg and Monroe, Lord, to do what you've called us to do, God. Now, we ask for divine protection. We ask for provision. And we thank you, Lord, for the promise of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that many have been baptized with water, but now they shall be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we shall go forth being a church on fire. We thank you, God, for every visitor today. We thank you, Lord, for growing the church. And we give you praise. Now, Lord, do as only you can do. Rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. Rebuke the evil one, God, that we shall be able to go forth without hindrance. Lord, let us not fear. For you did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. We thank you. That's your word. Your word is life. You are not a man that you shall lie. And your word shall never return void. I decree and declare blessings today, on this day, in this moment, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 I want to ask now, put your hands together and give them a praise. I'm sorry for going over. I apologize. I apologize. I guess somebody, he say that every week. Amen. I apologize. I do. I want to ask right now. I want to ask right now. There is no church on fire without Christianity. And you can't be a Christian unless you've accepted Christ. That's just how it is. I didn't make this up. So I'm asking right now, if you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm asking that you would come now, step forward, and receive Christ. And receive Christ. And watch your life change and go in directions that you never, ever thought. If you're here hearing this word, it's because God has already turned on something inside of you. And he just wants to see the manifestation of that in your life. So if you have not accepted Christ, I ask that you would come now. Praise the Lord. I want to ask now, if you're not sure, it's okay. If you're not sure, you know, I thought I was saved. I talked to someone and said, I thought I was saved, but I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Better be sure. We're talking about eternity. If you not accepted Christ, I ask that you come now. The Lord is waiting. How do you know? How do you know the Lord is waiting for me, Pastor? Because your heart is beating fast and you want to move. That's how you know the Lord is waiting. I ask that you come now. We would love to have you come forward and pray for you. It's not for church membership. It's for receiving Christ. Receiving Christ. Receiving Christ. Receiving Christ. Rededicating yourself to Christ. There are those that need to rededicate themselves to Christ. Say, Lord, I just want to rededicate my life to you. I want to serve you. Show me how to do it. I'm rededicating myself to you. Amen. Spirit of the Lord is moving. You never want to rush past this moment. I have to give an account for this. I have to give an account for this.
Amen.
Amen. And not to the FEA Conference Center. To God.
Yes.
Amen. I ask that you would come.
you want to rededicate your life to Christ, you're not sure. You may be a child, and you want to rededicate your life to Christ. A child, anyone under 21, I ask that you come. The Lord has plans for you. The Lord has something for you. Amen. The next call is for those who would like to join us in membership at Israel Living Church. You know, we're a loving church family and we're growing. We believe that God has a design and a plan for you. I ask that you would come now if you're interested or you're thinking, oh, God is, the Holy Spirit is directing you to join this church. You've been looking for a church home, a place where you can be loved and affirmed and grow in your faith. Hear the word, learn the word, share in the word, and go out and work. Amen. And do great things for God. I ask that you would come now. If that's you. You only know that. I know it because I'm looking at you, but I wish you would come. Let us continue believing God for great things. I want you to know I'm praying for you. And I love you. I love you. I'm praying for you. And I believe God has great things for you. And I need your help. Because I can't do this on my own. I need your help. Next call is for those that need prayer. You just want to pray that the Lord would part fire to you. I ask that you come. You know, fire burns. Fire burns. And some of us need some things burnt off of us.
Thank you, God.
Lord, have mercy. Fire burns. But I believe the Bible says that you shall walk through the fire and you shall not be burned. Lord, have mercy.
Yes, God.
Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you for those who have come today. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit and impartation in the name of Jesus Christ. I ask that you rebuke fear in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for decreasing them and increasing you. Continue to order their steps. Let them not fear. Let them not fear. Let them not fear. Let them not fear. We thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit, which keeps and covers us and gives us wisdom and guidance, direction. We ask right now that you bind the hand of the evil one. I thank you right now for breaking off any ungodly ties in the name of Jesus Christ. I decree and declare it by the power of God. I thank you, Lord, that you are directing and ordering them into a path of righteousness for your name's sake. I thank you, Lord, that they shall be spirit-filled, knowing that you are God. Yes. That, Lord, that the light that you've turned on within them will increase ever the more. That it will shine on the world and shine on the people to give you glory.
Yes, God.
Glory, glory.
Yes, God.
Your glory. In the name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, that the evil one cannot snatch this moment away. That as they go forth, they shall continue, and that seed that has been planted in them shall grow, and the evil one shall not come and snatch that seed, that word. Help God. Help us, God. Help us, God. Help us, God. Help us. I'm asking you, Father, on behalf of your people, in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord some praise. You can go back to your seat. We're about to leave this place. We are a church on fire. Sing something, James.
Name above all names.
Amen.